Welcome to The Glider Show, the audio podcast about learning how to fly gliders. I'm your host, Sam Deeks, and I'm still learning to fly in the county of Devon in the southwest of the United Kingdom. You're invited to follow me on my journey to becoming a confident, coordinated solo pilot. Now, over here in the UK, we've been having something that I think is called a heatwave. That means the weather's been lovely for more than 3 weeks in a row, and everybody looks happier and healthier for it. Is it any good for gliding? Well, apparently not that good. It seems that the high pressure sitting over the UK results in very hot, stable air, with the result that there's very little of the nice, fluffy, cumulus clouds that we need for soaring. In this week's show, I find out how hard it is to stay in formation behind the tug. I discover how hard it still is to coordinate my stick and rudder inputs, and I spend a day watching the grass turn into straw and meet a true gliding giant. But first, let's have a look at this week's gliding news from Google. Gimli residents celebrate 30th anniversary of Boeing 767 gliding feat. Residents in the small town of Gimli, Manitoba, are celebrating today to mark 30 years since a Boeing 767 airliner made an emergency landing there after running out of fuel. On July 23, 1983, Pearson and his co-pilot, Maurice Quintal, tapped their most elemental piloting skills to guide the nearly 100-ton airliner on a powerless descent from more than 26,000 feet to a decommissioned Royal Canadian Air Force base. Before heading to Gimli for a week of special events, Pearson, now 78, and long retired from the airline, spoke about his flight. First, he said modestly that any good pilot could have made that landing. During a typical airliner descent and landing, the power settings are so low that the plane is essentially gliding anyway. To some degree, every airline pilot is a glider pilot, he said. Pearson's jet was on its way from Ottawa to Edmonton when both engines quit. The ground crew, having teething pains with conversion to the metric system, had loaded it with fuel measured in pounds instead of kilograms, so it ran out roughly halfway through its planned route. Co-pilot Quintal calculated they could not make the glide to Winnipeg, so they diverted with the help of air traffic controllers to the old Gimli base. The pilots found they were too high as they neared the runway, so Pearson performed a forward slip, a manoeuvre that causes the plane to skid sideways and lose altitude quickly without increasing speed. Pilots do this often in small planes, but never in airliners. But Pearson had to because the wing flaps and speed brakes normally used for slowing down didn't work without power from the engines. When something like that happens, you just have to call on all of your training and experience, Pearson said. Luckily, his experience included years of towing gliders in a Piper Super Cub, a two-seat light plane that is as primitive as the 767 is high-tech. As the 767 landed on the abandoned Gimli runway, its front landing gear collapsed and some tyres blew out, but Pearson kept it on the runway by adjusting brake pressures on the left and right main landing gear, and none of the 69 passengers and crew on board were seriously injured. Surprise weight loss! Well, I'm down 1 pound from the previous week to 217, but I've not been very conscious about it, so it's not a great drop. So by next week, unless I pick up my game, anything could have happened. Now, Pat Pulis and Mike Lawrence, now's your chance to pounce and overtake me in the weight race. UK Club Glider stars in movie thriller. Southdown Gliding Club in Storrington provided the glider for the cast and crew of A Dark Reflection, which is about an air traffic controller suspended after a serious incident. His reporter wife then uncovers a series of cover-ups. Filming at Southdown focused on airline captain's daughter Molly, played by 16-year-old Romina Hitton from Storrington. Despite never having been in a glider before, Romina managed to smile her way through 22 consecutive loops and countless roles with experienced pilot Guy Westgate. For those of you who remember my comment on an earlier show about a YouTube proposal to turn gliding into a Formula One-style sport, you'll know why the name Hitton in this story rang a bell for me. A quick bit of Googling reveals that 16-year-old Romina is in fact the daughter of Mario Hitton, the man behind the sailplane Grand Prix concept. How strange is that? Portmoke crash victim had 30 years' experience. Investigations have revealed a pilot killed in a glider crash at an airport in Kinross had 30 years' experience. Mark Dixon, 49, was killed instantly when the right wing of his plane clipped the ground during a takeoff in September 2012. He was found dead in the Nimbus 3's upturned cockpit by a student glider pilot helping launch the aircraft in windy conditions. That must be the most awful and traumatic experience for a newcomer to gliding. Mr. Dixon, an air traffic controller, had more than 1,300 hours glider flying time, but had only been out once in the previous 3 months. The Air Accidents Investigation Branch, the AAIB, said in a report that the fatal launch went ahead after Mr. Dixon failed to release the winch cable when the wing tip touched the ground, as advised by the British Gliding Association. The report also said the cable release handle was fitted in a position such that the pilot would probably not have been able to keep his hand on it and still achieve full roll control authority. The report carried on. The AAIB recommended that the European Aviation Safety Agency and the BGA ensure that the cable release control on gliders can be operated at any stage of their launch without restricting the range of movement of any flying control. That's very sobering reading, but vital information for newcomers to learn. Did Cadillac on runway lead to wrong decision? The filming of a TV commercial turned fatal when a high-performance glider being towed aloft by a Cadillac Escalade crashed and killed its pilot. The dead man's estate is now suing, alleging wrongful death. According to court filings and to a National Transportation Safety Board report, the incident occurred on the afternoon of October 13, 2011, at the Clay Ellum Municipal Airport near Clay Ellum, Washington. At around 4 p.m. local time, according to the report and the complaint, with skies clear, visibility of 10 miles and winds at 9 knots, a high-performance German-made Flugzeugbau DG-1000S glider owned and flown by local pilot William Lynn Weller was being towed down the airport's runway by the Escalade, to which it was connected by a rope. The sequence, according to the complaint, was part of a TV commercial for the Escalade being filmed by the New York production company Supply and Demand. The glider, according to the complaint, was supposed to become airborne, then pace the Escalade along scenic, winding mountain routes while being filmed by a helicopter. At 70 miles an hour, at about the midpoint of the runway, the glider had become airborne. Then, the tow rope broke. The glider, which was about 200 feet above the runway, went into a steep turn. Its nose dropped and it impacted the ground in a steep, nose-low attitude, according to the report. So the question that arises here, even to a relative newcomer to gliding like me, is you're at 200 feet, you're halfway down the runway, why are you not putting your nose down, gaining flying speed and landing ahead? Even I know that much. Weller, says NTSB, was a commercial pilot with more than 1,600 flight hours. He was licensed to fly gliders, single-engined and double-engine planes. He was also a certified flight instructor. What he wasn't, his estate's attorney says, was a stunt pilot. But the point here is that any trained pilot, stunt or otherwise, especially one with 1,600 hours and a certified instructor, should have been able to deal with a rope break at 200 feet. I can't help thinking that the sight of a large Cadillac speeding along on the ground below him may have contributed to his making the wrong decision there. What do you think? So after looking for news this week, I had to reflect on the kind of news that we find here, and I'm really surprised to find that clubs, and certainly UK clubs, don't seem to use their websites or their blogs to get their activities out into the Google sphere or into the public domain. Now, here's a tip for you. If you are a club and you operate a blog on your website, think about your post titles from a search engine perspective if you want to connect with the searching public. Instead of saying something like windy day, Sunday the 15th of July, why not consider putting the word gliding, glider, sailplane, something like that, or even a manufacturer name of glider or something about winching. Put a glider specific keyword into your post titles so that your posts will stand a much better chance of being found in Google and bring newcomers to your information. It's about 10:30. And the day started out with a couple of cable breaks. So it's been a bit slow getting off the ground, but I see a couple of gliders now coming into land and a retrieve vehicle going back up, so I think things are in progress. And it's still a nice day, although apparently word has it that the thunderstorms are on their way for tomorrow or the next day. It wouldn't surprise me if they mark the end of this warm spell. It looks like the motor glider coming into land, the Falca. In fact, it is, but it's gliding rather than under power, I think. Well, I'm doing a retrieve on my own here. Time to use my initiative. Get the right track across the field, because it's all a different way around of doing things to what I've done before. Well, we'll see.
Receiving.
Can you go over to the north a bit so we can carry on launching?
Understood.
So I'll do the first part of the toilet, the launch, and we'll see how it gets on.
Okay. Am I okay with my feet on the rudder?
Oh, please do, yeah.
Okay.
It's just if we get too high, very dangerous for him. But he's never taken up to that.
Yeah.
So at the start of the aerotow, I'm going to have the stick fairway back.
Yeah.
Because the nose wheel is on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's a rough airfield, and I'd like to get that nose wheel off the rough ground as soon as possible. And we keep keeping the wings level with aileron control, separate, independently of the rudder. We might have to steer with the rudder. All right, when you're ready.
Hello.
So now I'm keeping, looking straight ahead and balancing on the main wheel. I've got the nose wheel off the ground. Getting the speed. Whoops, a bit of a bump got there. And another one. Now I'm flying about 10 feet behind the tug.
Yeah.
Maintaining position behind him.
Yeah.
Formation fly. The rope broke now, I land straight ahead on the airfield.
Yeah.
Again, if the rope broke now, I've got problems getting onto the airfield, so I'll probably have to turn away, fly away. Just going to show you how we calibrate the position behind the tug. It comes down to behind the slipstream right there.
Yeah.
There's a slipstream and we just come back up and down. That's how we calibrate the flying position. I'm thinking the no-toe position, which is one of the ways we fancy flying. We go down through the slipstream, going down through the slipstream to the low-toe position. Smooth down here, a bit uncomfortable, the toe piling has to retread. Now we're coming back up through the slipstream to the normal position till it becomes less turbulent, like that. That's the normal toe position. If we ever got higher than this, I'll just show you how high is safe. This is about the highest we would ever go. If you've got any higher than this, or lose sight of the tug, you release.
Yeah.
And coming gently down into the normal tug position. Basically, to fly formation, we match your angle of bank to the tug.
Yeah.
Just quickly show you, the air's quite turbulent, so it's fairly difficult. If I let the left wing go down,
yeah,
we move out to the left.
Yeah.
To get back into position, all I do is match my angle of bank to the tug.
Yeah.
And we go back into position.
Slowly.
What we mustn't do is let the inner wing go down. I'll do that again, but this time I'll let the inner wing go down. So I'm moving out to the left.
Yeah.
We've got a yawing motion from the rope.
Yeah.
If I start to let the right wing go down, like this,
you go too quickly back. Yeah.
And we start this oscillation. All I've got to do to stop it is match my angle of bank.
Yeah.
Would you like to just try and fly behind the tug? It's quite turbulent, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have control.
Control.
I have control with it.
Yes, thank you.
It's a bit turbulent. Let's just try and get the bit smoother air. And he's turning. Okay, it's instant. You've got to watch him instantly.
Yeah.
Difficult. Do you have control again?
I have control.
And you've not got the wings level. Good. Remember to coordinate aileron rudder together.
Yeah.
Gently with the controls. It's just because we're flying faster, it's all a bit more difficult. You're doing well, it's difficult.
bit overcompensating everywhere, but.
You are. Feel relieved to come off, won't you? Just come up gently.
Yeah.
Don't get too high. Feel the slipstream to you a little bit too low.
Okay.
No horizon doesn't help today. We're reaching 2000. When we get to 2000 feet or thereabout, let me just take it.
Yeah,
sir.
Take it.
Notice how the clouds are sort of a bit long. What's actually today being happening? They're being shredded up by the wind. What do you think about this cloud? Which way are you going to turn under this?
Left into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you are, yeah. Have a good look before you turn. Good. And I know there's not much horizon, but make sure you keep your airspeed up in the turn. What happened there then?
Buffet.
Got thrown out. Keep turning to the left, because we want to be at the front edge. If there's any wave, it's going to be on the front edge of this cloud. Keep going around to another 90 degrees. And then flow straight into the wind until the Vario starts to climb. And then the minute it stops taking turn. Keep turning, don't let it throw you out, don't let the angular bank off. This is rotor and thermals. Right. So keep turning. Okay. And if you go on your 45 on your diagonal net on your 90 degree. Now we don't want to go too far down the airfield, so what I want to do, now I'm just gonna open the air brake. You maintain the airspeed, you start your turn now.
Okay.
Have you got your hands on the air brakes as well, sir?
I have now.
Keep the train going, a bit more. Okay, great. No wings level now. You have control of this. Now, I'm just going to ease the air brakes fractioning because we're on a wheel brake.
Okay.
Just come a little bit more away for me. That's fine. You need to flare right behind the 2 sheet. Hot and horrible today, wasn't it?
Hot and hairy.
Sorry.
That's all right.
That's all I can really do, isn't it, I think. Right. And what's best, Dan, I think, is...
Peter on the wing?
Peter on the wing, yeah. And you do the bar. Yeah. So what we're going to do, Sam, that'll fall off, isn't it?
Right.
We're going to
take
the pin out, and you're just going to move to there.
Just that, you won't have any control over it, because it's on a pivot. So.
Right.
Okay, just push up a bit. One pin out. Keep the angle up,
so,
okay?
Yeah.
And now we're
going
to pull out the tap.
You've got the weight on that end?
Yeah. Yeah. That's it, hunky dory. Was it so bad, was it? Lots of room.
He knows me fairly well.
We've shared some quite good flights together.
We have indeed.
This is the first time I've seen this happen, so it's quite impressive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who's done what?
First time I've seen this happen, so.
Oh, is it?
Very impressive.
Oh, right. Yeah,
we leave the record in 5 minutes.
You've got an unusually good rig here.
We can do it with two people.
What, trailer?
Yeah, this seems really well.
No, most trailers will have this kind of standard setup.
Yeah.
But we just practiced.
Right.
And we know what can go wrong.
People run away when they see this because it's a big glider, but actually, if you know what you're doing, it's not.
To be honest, some of those wing sections are actually lighter than some of the other ones.
Right.
I mean, if John Percy and the Lack asked you to hold a wing, don't. It's like holding bags of concrete. And it's long.
Making sense of this last flight. Well, I enjoyed the flight, and especially the few seconds at the beginning where I got to try to fly in formation with a tow aircraft, and that was very, very challenging. I knew it would be, having read about it, having done it on a simulator, and having experienced it once before as a passenger the previous time I flew. it was really good practice trying to bank and fly in a thermal as well. We had it wasn't strong thermals, but we had a few opportunities to try and connect with them. Problem is, I've no idea whether or not I was in the centre of the thermal. In fact, I had little idea where I was at all in relation to the thermal. It's sheer inexperience. I knew when we had some lift and when we didn't, and that was about it. So, early days. I'm still struggling with some of the very basics, and in particular, rudder and stick coordination. One problem, I suspect, is that I just don't feel like I'm getting enough feedback from anything I'm doing with my feet to be able to make sense of what's happening. The aircraft responds quite clearly to stick input in a way that I can process and make sense of. I can see it banks and pitches up and down. And I know, in principle, that a big boot full of rudder yaws the glider, but the two of them together in the process of actually flying, it's still mystifying. Interestingly, on the ground after the flight, Ron's verdict was that I hardly used the rudder at all. Maybe what I need to do is to overdo the rudder next time, just to see what happens. Well, it's worth a go. So that's my little promise to myself for the next flight I'm on. I need to make sense of this. And the other thing, of course, is to not to get despondent about it. Once I was back on the ground, I had to do a little bit of talking to myself to remind myself that it's okay not to be able to do it straight away, and I've got as much time as I need. Now, the Glider Show has some new Twitter followers since last time, and a warm welcome to Cloud Queen, that's at cloudqueen_DE, web worker and avid traveller, adventure-addicted photographer and sometimes chasing clouds. Kevin Miller, at Go Gliding, pub, hotel, regional manager, glider pilot, father to two wonderful kids, one with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome type 3. Ronald DeVries, at Ronald DeVries 65. His bio says, Sonder Schast Gien Vader. And I haven't had time to put that through Google Translate to see what it means. Also, Goose Porter, at Goose Porter, pilot, FATPL, IT engineer. And finally, Mark Bramall at Burlington 5. So welcome to our Twitter feed at the Glider Show, and look forward to exchanging tweets with you at some point. In emails, I had an email from someone called Agincourt Longbow, and he says, Hi Sam, great podcast. It'll sure make my train into London a lot less boring. I can't really fault it, but as a beginner with 9 flights in the logbook, I had a few ideas you might want to consider for the podcast. In the workshop, a section in some or all podcasts on what's going on in the workshop and elsewhere around the club in relation to maintenance of gliders and associated kit. What does it take to keep an aged K-13 flying? What's being repaired? What's going on with service of the tug plane, parachute checks, airfield upkeep, and so on? What checks need to happen and when? How much does all of this cost? That sort of thing. Also, why not a section on the trusty K-13 and a look at why it's so massively popular? Could have a section on buying gliders. If I were to sell my vital organs to buy one, where would I look? What would it cost? And what are the ongoing costs? What would I be checking for when considering a purchase? Actually, that's a good idea. You sell your organs, you get lighter, don't you? What's the heaviest organ in your body? I might look into that. Anyway, loving the show. Posted a review on iTunes. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work. See you on an airfield sometime. Agincourt Longbow. Thank you so much. And we hear again from good old Pat in Australia. Pat says, Sam, I just listened to your last two podcasts earlier this week, and I'm really glad to hear that you've taken the aero tow and, of course, been in the lovely DG505. Pat says, I've taken on board your weight limitation references in your last podcast, mate, so you've pricked my guilty conscience so much that I too will make a concerted effort to lose some weight. Maybe we can put a little wager on this to see who can lose the most weight. Now, in an earlier email, Pat gave me the news that his 15-year-old son, Philip, had just gone solo. It's a great achievement, and it makes me feel like a dinosaur in this game. But I asked Pat if he was worried at all about his son going up solo, and Pat says, no, I wasn't worried about Philip going solo, as I know that the club instructors just don't let any punter go solo. You really need to prove your worth and be safe. As it was, he experienced a real launch failure during the climb out. As the tug wasn't developing full power on one of the first flights of the day, it waggled its rudder, and he responded by ensuring that his air brakes were closed, and then the tug waggled its wings assigned to release immediately, which he did and landed safely on another runway after the release. And I think this demonstrated to the instructor that he knew what he was doing and nailed him the solo opportunity. That's pretty impressive. I'd love to try my hand at chatting with you about gliding here in Oz, maybe write down a few things that you'd like me to talk about or to do some comparisons so I can sufficiently prepare. That sounds a really good idea. We've ventured into the realms of Skype here on the Glider Show. So, Pat, let's see if we can arrange that. It'd be really nice to connect. It'll be some strange crossover time of the day where you're about to go to bed and I'm just getting up, something like that. But it'd be really nice to speak to you in the flesh. So look forward to that. Mike Lawrence emails us and says, "Hi, Sam. Listened to episode 15 a day or two ago and was pleased to hear you mention my note to you about the glider diet that you had earlier teased us with. Thanks for expanding on your email explanation to me and sharing it with the world." Well, you don't want to keep these things to yourself, do you, Mike? Probably more to do with the fact that if I was putting it out there into the Glider Show, I'd be shamed into at least trying to stick to it more than 1 week in, on the trot. After our brief correspondence, I too searched for a phone app and found one for my Android phone that even turned out to be free. You're smarter than me. Definitely an added benefit. It will take continued discipline, but you are so correct about just being much more aware of your caloric intake and how it corresponds to your exercise or lack thereof and your caloric energy needs. I've seemingly lost and kept off about 2.5 to 3 pounds in about 3 weeks. Well, that's good going, Mike. Only about 20 more to go to reach my personal goal. Yeehaw. On a more somber note, though, it appears that she who must be obeyed has other plans for the thousand or so dollars I had hoped to invest in membership and TOFIs with the local gliding club. My plans to fly soon have been somewhat modified and will likely not take off, pun intended, in earnest until next year. So in the meantime, if you've got any more recommendations for books, magazines or other interesting links, please keep sharing them with all of us. I'll try to do that, Mike. Well, that's about it for this, the 16th episode of The Glider Show. In the coming shows, I'm hoping to get some more focused interviews done on specific subjects that should be of interest to trainee glider pilots and more experienced pilots alike. I'll also be following up on some of Agincourt Longbow's suggestions too. And with luck, between now and the next show, I'll be taking a step into the unknown by accompanying fellow club member Ron Johns cross-country in his mind-bogglingly large and beautiful ASH-25. That's a very exciting prospect for me, despite the possible threat of having to use the dreaded in-flight glider plumbing. Meanwhile, if you'd like to take part in the Glider Show, then there are plenty of ways to get involved. Why not record some MP3 audio of you flying or just around your club, or a response to something featured in the show, or just a hello from you and your part of the world? You can email me at ukglider@hotmail.com or tweet me at ukglider. I've also now created a Skype ID, The Glider Show, to make interviews and conversations easier as we go forward. Check the Take Part page on the ukglider.com website for more ways to take part in the show. Music for the show was by slide guitarist Finn, and thanks as ever to the people around and about the world of gliding who let themselves be captured on MP3 and podcast without lynching me afterwards. You're great. Until next time, please do your utmost to fly safe, and if you're ever tempted to do an auto tow, remember that when the cable breaks, there is going to be a bloody great Cadillac right where you need to land. So bear that in mind.